All right, here we go. I'm not using the applause button because it seems to mess up my mic. Are you there, Jackal Monkey? Are you okay? Oh, what happened to you there? There he goes. As soon as I go live, leave it to Jackal Monkey. No, I can hear myself. You may have to leave and come back.
I'm there. I'm a little bit choppy.
Yeah, what's happening? Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. We are still actually waiting for our guest. This is Night of the Living Dreads. I'm Otis B. Dreads, and we have off camera. We have Otis B. Dreads Jr. Actually, well, you go by CJ. How are you there, son?
Doing good.
Doing good. Awesome. You wanted to hop in every now and then. Are we good now?
I hope so.
Are you going to behave?
Done acting up.
I don't know. Am I still choppy?
Yes, you are. Excuse me. Yeah, a little bit.
Well, damn it.
Well, okay. All right. Now you,
a little bit choppy.
No, you're getting better.
No, I'm smoothed out there. Yeah.
You're getting there. You're getting there. No sudden moves.
It's goddamn airplanes, man.
It's them airplanes. Leave them alone. Move away.
Yeah, get the fuck away from my house.
Well, we have some people joining us. Lacey, welcome. Amy, welcome. Ms. Jackie,
what's up, everybody?
Jackie Rose, welcome. We are waiting for our guest. Most probably know him. Man. Most probably know him by his role in Friday the 13th, the very first part, the one that started it all. And that would be the little boy, which you only really get flashbacks. And, of course, the very end, which I think really ranks right up there with one of the best jump scares in horror movie history. You remember that part, CJ?
It got me good.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was inspired by at the end of Rosemary's Baby. And not Rosemary's Baby, Carrie. What am I thinking? Yes, you are choppy, sir. We got us a choppy jackal monkey.
Get to the chopper.
But it was kind of inspired by the Carrie at the very end where the arm comes up and grabs the girl. I think that that's who our guest is going to be. Mr. Ari, I hope I'm pronouncing it right because I didn't get a chance to talk to him prior, but Ari Lehman. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that okay. Are you okay over there, buddy? You look like Max Headroom.
That's jumps.
Look, you are way back. Why can I hear myself now? I can hear myself. you what have you done for me lately?
No.
I can hear myself.
A choppy monkey.
Yes, choppy monkey. This is a show for the ages right here, folks. Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on with you there, buddy. You were fine right before I hit the go live, and it's now like all of a sudden your camera has got cold feet. It's like you don't want to do it now. Hello, Cindy. Thank you for joining us. Scar has joined us. And there he goes again. And he is off and running. Hopefully he brings Ari back.
He's sprinting down the hall.
Yeah. This has happened before. This is becoming, this is a problem. It's becoming habitual. And so I guess I got to try and hold this ship down. I'm getting ready. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to plow it right into a fucking iceberg. I guess what I can do, that F-bomb reminded me to do this before we bring Jackal Monkey back in for a third try. And before we do, because he cusses like a sailor, following video contains explicit language, may be offensive to some viewers and or inappropriate for children. The content within this video is intended for mature audiences only. All right, now let's see what we got with our good friend Jackal Monkey. Now you are muted. Hey, I think we may have something going here. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it too much. Yeah, so while we have you, tell people where they can get a lovely mask.
Yeah, just you know, if you're looking for a custom latex mask or a Friday the 13th hockey mask.
There he goes again.
Or a Hannibal Lecter mask, Nightmare Ninja Studios on Facebook.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
And we'll make your nightmares become.
There you go. No, you're gone. There you go. Choppy. Muted. Unmuted. Choppy. And here comes Ari. Mr. Ari, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Jackal Monkey, he's having all kinds, or you may know him as James. He's the one that reached out to you about joining us. He's having some technical issues, lives by an airport or some shit.
Okay,
and,
okay.
That's but he'll be popping in and out, but I have my
understandable.
Yeah, what's absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
What's your name? Are you
Scurry Face? Oh, no, that's actually the page. I see what you did there. That's actually the page in which we're broadcasting to. I am Otis B. Dreads.
Otis B. Dreads. I love it. Okay.
Oh, well, thank you. That's great. And also off camera, I have my son joining us as well.
Nice.
So let's start right off. You have been, before we get into the Friday the 13th stuff, you have been currently on tour with First Jason. How has that been going on? Is that keeping you busy?
Oh, yeah. First Jason, I'm very gratified to report is you know, we've been touring quite a bit. We have a new vinyl coming out, which is
nice.
Two songs, The Price of Peace and The Scapegoat. Nerve Agent Records has done our very first ever 7-inch vinyl. It's our very first vinyl of all time. So we're really, awesome. really excited about that. Yeah. And, you know, touring with First Jason is the main thing that I do, because it's a way of reaching the fans and, you know, doing that meet and greet with kind of a special added feature of you know, being a rock band. And we play in different contexts. You know, sometimes we're playing, like, last two weekends ago we were at the Loony Bin, which is just like a popular rock club in the Midwest, and we're playing with two other bands, and we packed the house and we were the headliner, and, you know, we're having fun doing that.
Nice.
And then sometimes we're playing in other situations where they'll do a screening of Friday the 13th, and they'll have me do a meet and greet, and then we'll perform. So there's many different contexts in which First Jason gets to perform. And, you know, I'm just gratified that we get to reach this wonderful family of horror, as you know, which includes many facets. You know, there's the people making bands like mine, you know, horror rock bands. Then there's independent horror movie productions. Then, oh boy, you have a Big Chris artwork behind you. There's artists like Big Chris who did that artwork behind you. And there's tattoo artists, and there's haunted house actors and enthusiasts and paranormal people and hearse enthusiasts. So it just, there's so many facets that it all comes together. I'm just happy and gratified that, the fans still enjoy Friday the 13th so much after 42 years.
It's amazing. Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Jackal Monkey, we were talking about, but while you were waiting for you.
What's up? Thank you, man.
First, Jason, you know, his band and his touring. Did you want to ask anything else on the music side before we dive into some talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how's everything going with the tour right now so far?
Oh yeah, well we just played at the Looney Bin, which is a great club in the Midwest. We're going to be playing on Friday the 13th at the Galloping Ghost Arcade. That's the largest arcade in the world. You wow. know. And that kind of, again, it throws a light on what's going on, because I'm benefiting greatly from the bonding between parents and the younger generation over horror, which is kind of a new phenomenon, if you will, not always in you know, mainstream. All of a sudden, you've got this younger generation very keyed in, and then so you've got the dads and the younger kids, and sometimes the moms too, but that's just a thing, you know, where they can go and have fun. And then, so in that case, at Galloping Ghost, it's an all ages thing. They have like 850 arcade games all set on free play. So we're going to be there. I'll do a meet and greet. Everybody will have a good time. And then at about 8 p.m., we'll rock out, you know, so. We like to just make it fun for everybody, and so in other words, sometimes we're in a rock club working with like we'll be at Lucky 13 Saloon, which is a wild rock club in Brooklyn, New York. If anybody knows Lucky 13 Saloon, that's a pretty wild place, and we're headlining there with our good buddies Demon Scar. And there's another band playing with us called Sewage, you know, and there's another band. Oh, I wish I could remember there. But so we're able to, you know, hopefully be flexible and give our most in all these different situations. Yeah.
Yeah. CJ, did you want to, I think you had a question about the keytar. My son plays guitar, and he was looking into some of the stuff you had done. He's texting me going, he plays a fucking keytar. And I was like, yes, he does.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I play a keytar because I'm so jealous of guitar players, but I've been a piano player and a keyboardist my whole life. You know, early on, I studied jazz, and I learned at New York University, and I got to watch some of the greatest jazz musicians of all time literally go down from my dormitory room. I would just go downstairs, and there would be Tommy Flanagan and Hank Jones, and I would go see George Coleman. I would go, you know, right there, you know. And so that's where I came out of. But then, you know, once embraced by the horror community, I recognized that metal was really what they loved so much. So I started drawing upon some of the influences that I had gained. Like when I was living in New York City, I was good buddies with the singer of Reagan Youth, Dave Insurgent. He was a good friend of mine, and he liked jazz. And so he would turn me on to some cool stuff. Like, he turned me on to Bad Brains and Dead Kennedys. And of course, Reagan Youth is an amazing band. Mm-hmm. People should always check out, and they're touring again too. Unfortunately, my good buddy Dave got his wings so many years ago. But another band, the Cro-Mags. There was a drummer from the Cro-Mags. They called Cleaver. He was super helpful in helping me kind of make that transition, because he was a jazz guy too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what happened? I realized. People who like Jason Voorhees are more into metal, more into punk. So, you know, it just made sense. See, absolutely. And ultimately, there's a band called Macabre.
I love that band.
Okay, well, here we go. You know about Macabre, then let's talk. Because it was Chuck, we should say Nefarious, from Macabre. Now, Macabre is one of the most talented bands I've ever seen, I've ever heard. The first ever band to have double bass drum all the way through an album. I don't know if you knew that, but it's like 20 years ago. So the first one to have double bass drum on every song. And, you know, Dennis is a monster. Okay. A monster. Okay. So they had a short hiatus, and I was able to have Chuck in my band for about a year. And at first I was only singing. And Chuck said, man, you know, you're a keyboard player. You got to bring that. He would never stop saying, bring the keyboard in. Bring. But I said, I don't want to stand behind a keyboard, you know.
Right,
I
want to
rock out. So initially what I did was I took a synthesizer. It was an Alesis Micron. And I like duct taped it to a big cosplay sword. And I took the cosplay sword and I put a guitar strap on the cosplay sword. So I made my own guitar. And I came and I showed that to Chuck. And Chuck was like, that's what he said. That sounded exactly like, he was like, oh, that's the shit right there. You know, it had to be something out like that. So, but as time passed, Roland created a synthesizer, a synth axe. And I play a black, it has all black keys. And the synth axe is so much fun to play, I'll tell you. Especially if you like to, like, I could show a four-year-old kid how to sound like Jimi Hendrix. I'm telling you. Just, you know, so it's an amazing thing. So, but I'm so happy. And thank you. I've been called the evil wizard of keytar by, you know, the real keytar players out there. They're like, we don't know what the hell you're doing, but.
Hey, I'd wear it like a badge. That's a badge of honor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm.
You know, speaking of horror and metal, I think kind of going hand in hand, I don't think there's any doubt you go to a metal show, you're going to find, you know, probably a lot of horror T-shirts or you know, the love of horror and vice versa. You go to these horror cons and you find a lot of metalheads out there. Speaking of cons, you are, I think, going to be in Indianapolis the middle of October. I think you're on that bill.
Yes. There. Oh, yeah. It's Dead not Con. Indianapolis. That's in Fort Wayne, New Jersey, actually. I mean, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Indiana. Not Fort downtown Indiana. Indiana. Okay.
Right. No.
You scared me there for a minute.
Indianapolis is a different convention. This is DeadCon, put on by Eric Verner. It's a new convention, and it needs support. It's in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And see, now Fort Wayne is a town that's very famous for its punk scene. There's a lot of punk bands that come out of Fort Wayne. There's a lot of people that love. That's like B-movie monsters come out of there. Who else comes out of there? There's all these bands. You know, I smoke too much weed to remember things properly. But
hey, you and me both, buddy. We're riding that same train.
And we're
you
all know? Together.
Oh, they'll kill me. They'll could have called me up. They're, why did you mention? But there's so many great horror punk bands from that town. So it's apropos that this event should happen there.
Right.
But see, what's interesting is that this guy has really come up with something that's quite amazing. His convention, he's got Kane Hodder. He's got Danny Trejo.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Adrienne King, who's the girl I grab out of the boat. You know, he's got a really great lineup. Actually, yeah, she's depicted here on my shirt. There she is. Where's But
awesome.
Yeah. So
that's a great lineup DeadCon has coming up. Me and my wife are hoping to get out there. It'll be her first con. We're looking at hopefully some VIP type perks there. Yeah. And
we'll hook you up, man. Don't worry.
We'll get together, man. So let's talk. You were what, 13 or 14 when you were on the set of Friday the 13th?
Well, I was 14 years old, And I had more fun on the set of Friday the 13th than anybody had ever on a movie set, because I was a kid and it was a summer camp. And it was really my second movie. And it was just a blast. In fact, I'm going to be going back to that location in 2 weeks.
Nice.
There you go. Thank you. In 2 weeks, I will be at the location of Friday the 13th, Otis. I'll be there at Hardwick, New Jersey for Crystal Lake Tours, and Adrian's going to be there.
I've seen something about that. Yeah.
It's an amazing tour if anybody gets a chance to do it. But, yeah, we'll talk more about that later. Yes, it was such a blast for me. Of course, Tom Savini was the mastermind of the special effects. And I was working together with Tom and his assistant, Tasso Stavrakis, the two of them. So that was kind of like the bro buddy hang, you know, because I was a kid and then we were all, you know, hanging out. So I had so much fun. There was a lot of hard work, you know, working on the effects, especially, but the general mood of the set of Friday the 13th was great fun for me. And
how long did it take Tom and, you know, his little crew to take and get you ready, film ready with all the prosthetics on your heads and whatnot?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. Ultimately, it took months in preparation to get all the elements together. Now, you know, of course they had to, what they do is they pour kind of alginate over your head and take a mold of your face. Okay. And then they take that and they pour, you know, like cement in there. So they make like a sculpture of your head, which is weird.
I know, right?
There's a weird sculpture of your head. And then they come, then they build the mask on that, right? Then they come and cast that. So then they've got to, you know, fit it to your face. Does this fit? You know, sometimes I'm like breathing through straws in my nose.
Right.
You know, but I was very gung-ho kid. I was very into it. So whatever it took, if I had to, you know, to focus. And sometimes, though, there was a lot of joking going on. And one time Tom said to me, okay, we need you to just be absolutely still for half an hour. So he put on this album. He said, do you know Jim Morrison in The Doors? And I'm like, yeah. And it was, people are strange when you're a stranger. And I was all like, wow. So I just zoned out. I just, you know, got in the, so that was, but you know, that's really always. And then now being on the set, I went in this room and it brought back this memory because they had a barber chair in there and they, after they had done all the makeup, okay, they hadn't let me see any of it. And they said, okay, we're gonna leave the room. And they turned the barber chair around to the mirror and they just left the room. And so I'm all alone in there. And then I look at the mirror and I see little Jason. And it was like, it was chilling, man. It was like goosebumps. I was like, at first I was like, who is that? You know, and then, whoa, you know, and then, you know, I kind of got into the place, you know, but at first, wow. You know, when I saw all the work they had done with the glass eye and the false teeth and everything, you know, so it was a mind blower. And yeah, kudos to Tom Savini for amazing, you know, practical effects work, as they say.
Absolutely, yeah. One of our earlier, just a few minutes ago, one of our viewers had asked, I think it was Cindy, had asked, was that where that Friday 13th was filmed? Is there in New Jersey where you're doing, you know, you're going back? That was the actual place there?
All the scenes that I did were filmed in Hardwick, New Jersey.
Okay.
At Crystal Lake. Other scenes were filmed, of course, in Blairstown. Like when you see Annie coming in and she walks and of course they have Blairstown, has Blairstown Museum, and they even have, I think, a Friday the 13th museum there. And the place I'm going to be at, though, of course, is Hardwick, New Jersey, at the actual campsite. That event is run by the Cubs Boy Scouts, and mm-hmm. you can sign up for that. And all the proceeds go to help 1,000 kids go to summer camp. So it's pretty amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I have some fond memories of some summer camp, you know, when I was a kid. So that's awesome.
Well, good yeah, stuff. The summer camp, you know, theme, it's definitely something people love to revisit, sure. you know. And I think it's just that whole idea that, you know, your parents have left you in the middle of the woods. You know what I mean? Like, okay, bye. You know, we'll see you in 2 months. Mikey, see you later.
Right.
It's kind of like, if you remember in that scene, thank you. Thank you. If you remember in that scene where they're in the little diner and, mm-hmm. and, you know, Christy is in there and they're talking and she's like, oh, it starts to rain. And she's like, oh, you'll take me out one night and it's all nice and cozy and apple pie. And then he gets in the cop car and it's raining and he mm-hmm. takes him out. And then he gets the call. If you remember, he gets the call. Oh, I'm just going to have to leave you here at the end of the road here. Okay, I'll see you later.
Like right, that's right. That's kind of
the image of like when your parents just go, okay, yeah. Well, we're leaving you at this summer camp. We have more important things to do.
Yeah, right. Mommy, daddy's getting a break. See you in 2 months.
Yeah, well, exactly. What is it all about? What's it all about? And so maybe there is, maybe we've touched on something. Maybe there's a twinge of guilt that parents feel sending their children off into the, and then, oh, we're playing on that. Yes. Okay.
That was great. That was great, Ari. Yeah. It's my understanding that, you only had about 30 minutes to give with us, or is that not true?
Oh, no, I can keep going. Yeah, it's cool.
All right. All right.
Whatever it takes.
You had some pretty funny stories I heard in previous interviews about the late, great Betsy Palmer, who obviously played your mother, Pamela Voorhees. Can you share some of that? Because, I mean, she seems really amazing. Funny.
She was the most amazing person. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, Friday the 13th, the first Friday the 13th, benefited so much from Betsy and from having her there, from her, you know, just the whole way she spun it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at it on the face of it, Friday the 13th is a response to Halloween. And okay, the character there is the Jamie Lee Curtis, the Laurie Strode. And, you know, Laurie Strode, that's, they're going for a different energy there. It's like there's all these different levels, but in Friday the 13th, okay, the way she plays the character, I think it's so wonderfully deceptive.
Yes, it is.
If you look at that's what they were going for. Like if you look at the poster of Friday the 13th and you think of that silhouette,
mm-hmm.
but the fact is that silhouette, if you look very carefully, it has women's fingernails. It has the hip. And if you look carefully, it has a sweater. It shows you that the killer is female.
Well, I never noticed that. Now I might have to go back and look at this.
Look again. The artist is Spiros Angelikas. And they try. This was the original intent that Friday the 13th would be the one where you think, oh, it couldn't be Betsy Palmer. She always plays the nice lady, right? But it turns out, and there's that wonderful scene where Alice Hardy, played by Adrienne King, brilliantly, runs up and she says, oh, they killed this guy. They killed Bill. They killed Ned. Ah! And she goes, she hugs Betsy. She hugs Pamela Voorhees. She hugs the killer.
Right. I mean,
how many movies is someone go up and hug the killer. And I love Betsy's response. She always says, I'm not afraid. I just love that. Of course you're not afraid. You know,
exactly, right.
But Dylan. I got to make friends with Betsy because, you know, we were just buddies. One of the big reasons, you know, she just took me under her wing. She was the best. She would, she was vegetarian. I'm vegetarian. So everybody would go off to eat steaks and we would go to eat Italian food and share a bottle of wine. And, you know, we would talk endlessly. I kept wanting to get her to be in, you know, different movie projects I concocted, you know. And, you know, she would always say, Ari, pass the joint. It's not a microphone. She could make people laugh, man, so hard. I would come out like Mr. Metal, you know. I would come out like all metaled out, you know. And then she would start making penis jokes. She would just be like, was the water cold, Ari? What?
Oh, my goodness.
No, she could make people laugh so hard. They would literally saw her make people fall out of their seats with laughter at like 11 a.m. at one of these horror conventions. Mm. She's just hilarious. I mean.
That's great. So, you know, that. She was, see, what I'm getting is she was almost maybe like a mother figure on the scene outside of the character she was playing. Did you kind of say like that? Did you guys hang out a lot together?
Well, yes. She was born on the same date as my actual mother, November 1st.
Yeah, that's right. I did hear you mention that before.
Her and I were like she could say anything to me. And I adored her. And she kind of took me under her wing. She
gave
me a lot of great advice. She, for instance, she told me not to worry too much about the movie industry and the whole thing and to just try to be an artist. Mm-hmm. And what she loved to do most was dinner theater. She was doing dinner theater up until the end. And she could memorize. She was amazing. Wow. And she was a stickler for I know she loved me because she was a stickler for punctuality, but then she would allow me to be late. I could show up whenever. It's like, it's Ari. Don't bother him. You know, other people, but I got away with everything with her. I would bring her flowers and, you know, she was just something else. And I think I still get messages from Betsy, but you know, there's so much that, you know, went into Friday the 13th and casting her was unexpected. Mm-hmm. And the result was unexpected. And I think the same thing happened, if you will, with the scene that I did, that scene that's at the end, mm-hmm. which changes the whole movie, because mm-hmm. that scene at the end was, of course, not in the original script. The original script said the only iteration of Jason Voorhees in all cinematic history was supposed to be a drowning boy. That was going to be it. Mm-hmm. When they changed it at the end, they came up with this scene, but the way they said it, they said, this is Alice's dream. Okay. They said Alice's dream. And I'm like, it's not a dream. This really happened. That mm-hmm. bitch killed my mother. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to get her. And, famously, Tom Savini took me aside and said, you know, keep that to yourself. That's the way you look at it. But the script is that this is a dream. This isn't real. Mm-hmm. Okay. But see, I've been thinking about this. And, you know, it was a low-budget film. And they couldn't reshoot a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it happened was Sean had a very smart idea. He didn't want Adrian to hear him say action. He wanted her to really be scared when I came out of the water, at least mm-hmm. at one point. So he says to me, everybody's in position. He says to me, the cameras are rolling. Go out in the water. And you're not going to be able to hear me say action. So very clever. He says,
yeah.
You're the director, Ari. Wait till the bubbles clear. and then come out and grab Adrian. That's all he said. So I'm like, I'm the director?
14 years old. You're saying I'm the director?
Exactly. I'm the director. So I'm also thinking I better not fuck this up, you know?
Right, exactly.
So I go out there. Now, I'm not aware that Tom Savini doesn't know. Adrian doesn't know. This is a little trick by Sean. So I go out, quietly go underwater, and I'm thinking, am I going to, you know, I make a decision to do it with brutality. Because I thought, you know, this is a horror movie. If I wimp out, they're going to say, you know, do it. You know,
you screwed up your directorial debut.
Thank you. So I grab the side of the boat. Famously, I'm coming around the side, you know, the famous wonderful moment here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I got leverage because it wasn't all that deep, you know. So I had leverage. I bounced up out of the water. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I look at Adrian and she has no idea what's going on. And I'm thinking, I'm going to hurt this poor lady that I've never met before. And she's looking at me and she goes, so they got that shot of her being scared. But then my arm hits her, whammo. She just grabs me. She just throws me on. She said, get the off of me. And she falls in the water. Okay. Now they're looking at me, Ari, you know. No. They blow dried her hair. They blow dried her shirt. And you know, there's actually a photo of this. I'm being admonished. Sean is saying to me, okay, this time, don't do it so aggressively. He says.
Right.
And now I'm thinking, what am I, a deranged child? You know? So, you know, okay. So if you look at the GIF now, you could see he took two shots. There's a medium shot and it's kind of yellow from the foliage. And that's got, and then all of a sudden it goes in for that close up. Mm-hmm. If you look at the close up, that's the first take. Her face just changes and then they cut expertly. And then they go back to the other GIF where Savini tilts the boat over. I mean, there you go. I mean, it's like the hilarity of it is that that all lasts all of 5 seconds in front of your face, you know. But the thought that went into it was, how can we make it so that she really is scared and then blame it on Ari?
How long were you on set from beginning to finish?
You know, we did the first thing. They had to do that twice, though. The first time they did the drowning sequence, they felt it looked too pathetic, and they wanted it to look more repulsive. Mm-hmm. So they did that again. The second time we did it in one take. So that was two times. So that was like 2 days at separate occasions. And then, though, I thought it was all over. It wrapped in August, and then I had gone home and thinking, you know, I play this kid that drowns in a movie. I guess that's my whole movie career right there. And so then Sean calls me up, and he says, we need you to come back to the set. And I said, but my character is dead.
Right.
But he said, no. You get your revenge. So that's how. Then they called me back in October. So then we did that final sequence in October. And by that time, you know, they had gotten everything done. So it had to be, you know. So in other words, something I've often wondered is, was Sean just stuck with this brutal version of Little Jason? In other words, I came out of the water all gangbusters, and whammo, they didn't have time to shoot that again. Right. So, you know, you wonder, because he often says, you know, we never wanted Jason to be the focal point of this Friday the 13th. He even tried to change that later with Jason Goes to Hell deliberately. Oh, and part 5 with Roy as Jason. They kept trying to get rid of Jason. But see, this is what I say, is that it's just the fans that decided. It was the fans that decided that it wasn't a dream, that Jason was real. Mm-hmm. And it was the fans that just especially when Richard Brooker played Jason in part three and they brought out that hockey mask, that's something that was just, who knows why? You never know. It was just enduring. It's just like anything, man. If you have a band and you write songs and you say, oh, you think so that they're going to all love this song and then they all love that song. It, you know, it's not up to you. Just come up with more songs, you know?
Well, what did your what would your parents, you know, think about your whole role is playing this? I think as what was described a mongoloid child.
Well, I can't use that word. We try to steer away from that word. But that was the description. Even in the original promotion, and even in certain magazines. But I grew up in Westport, Connecticut. I mean, that's where I went to high school and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was like my parents commuted into New York City and they largely didn't know what I was up to. Originally, I had snuck into the audition for Manny's Orphans, which was directed also by Sean Cunningham. That was at the YMCA in Westport, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. That was the story of it's like a comedy, a sports comedy about a ragtag bunch of orphans that win their orphanage back from the mob in a soccer tournament. And so that's what Sean really wanted. He wanted to do like that kind of stuff. And that you can see even recently he had a recent project called, I think, The Piano Teacher that really shows where his heart is. And then again, his biggest project result was with Spring Break. He directed Spring Break.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody has different fortes, I guess. And but then again, you know, the reason why it's the fans, and then also Sean had a good approach to horror, especially Friday the 13th. He always tried us to make us do what we could, or the actors do what they could to be as realistic as possible and not overdo.
Sure. So that's a fine line, I'm sure.
It is a fine line, my friend. And he said to me, you know, many times that, yeah, they didn't want to overplay it. But then, so that makes me wonder when I came out like that with all the whammo, like, was he like, oh no, what have I done? And then they were just like, well, I guess we'll put it in the movie like that. And then fans are like, we like that. We like that part.
Yeah.
Because they instantly go to her, you know, in the hospital, you know, ma'am, we didn't see any boy. How did they not see any boy?
Right. Let's just stray away from Friday 13 just for a minute. We're big fans of course, the Universal monsters and things of that nature and the old stuff. What's one of your favorite films, and do you have a favorite Universal monster?
Well, my favorite, I mean, well, I love all of that stuff, and I'm a huge Lon Chaney fan. Even the early stuff, his super early stuff. The first horror movie I ever saw that really turned me on to horror was The Mummy with Boris Karloff. Hmm. And there's a lot of great comparisons there. I love The Mummy. I love the whole idea of it being, you know, he asks this woman to join him in the afterlife. It's like this amazing concept. And it you could see how it worked because it was so romantic. But to me as a kid, I just loved those images of Egypt and then Ardeth Bay and his whole otherworldly, just the way he spoke. It was amazing. And, you know, Ankh-Sennamon, you know, and that whole thing. I just love things that are mythological, and that got me hooked. Like, to me, you know, that was the kind of horror movie that I always loved, and still do. Like, I love Hellboy, and I love, you know, I love horror movies that don't always have a ton of violence. I mean, you know,
right.
I like movies like The Orphan or Hard Candy or, you know, all kinds of, you know, but in the universal realm, gosh, well, I mean, I love it all. I can't think of anything I don't.
Right. Yeah.
I could watch that all day and all night. I mean, Phantom of the Opera, of course, being one of my super faves of all time. And when you're just talking about old movies, I love German expressionist horror movies like Der Golem and How He Came Into the World. You know, the Paul Wegener classic where Paul Wegener is playing Der Golem. He directed, he wrote that movie. And, you know, in many ways, the Jason that we have today, the big Jason, who is you could say, like, righteous vengeance gone horribly awry. It's like similar to the original concept of Der Golem, wherein, you know, they have the rabbi has the control only so much, and then he loses control of Der Golem. And then, you know, so the whole theme is, you know, how this power that can't be controlled. So, yeah, you know, in essence, can we kill for good? And,
right.
You know, so I think that, yeah, there's some similar themes there. But awesome. All in all, Friday the 13th is not a thinky movie.
No. That's pure entertainment there. Don't think and just take it all in. You have, of course, firstjason.com, and that's spelled out FIRST. So, and that is, that's for your band, I guess, huh?
First Jason is where you can reach us. We have two great videos out now. We have one called Voorhees is the Name, another one called Kill for Mother. We're going to be on tour. We're absolutely dedicated to meeting the fans. And if anybody mentions scarryface.com, when you come up to the merch table, okay, you're going to get a special free signed Jason card. Okay, we've got these cool cards. So if you mention Scarryface to me. But, you know, there's some other movies I love to mention.
Sure.
Before we go, like, for instance, I'm a big fan of Robert Mitchum, Night of the Hunter, one of my favorite movies. If you love Friday the 13th, you should check out Dementia 13.
I've seen that.
Francis Ford Coppola's first movie, where it's like, it's similar. It's like Friday the 13th at a mansion. And I think that Victor Miller must have seen that movie. I have to ask him that question the next time I see him. But,
awesome. And so you're doing, as we mentioned, you're doing the con circuit a little bit. If you want to check out.
All of the stuff is at firstjason.com.
First Jason.
We're going to be at the Philly Tattoo Con. That's in September 10th through 12th. We're touring around. We're going to be at the Capitol Theater in Rome, New York. That's August 28th. But yeah, just check it out at the calendar.
Awesome.
Yeah. And make sure you mention scurryface.com.
There you go.
Get your free card.
Get your free card. Ari, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight, man. I wish Jackal Monkey could have been here, but apparently his internet got flushed right down the old shitter.
It got Jasonized.
It got Jasonized. Hey, thank you so much again, man. Enjoy.
Where are you guys out of? Are you in Southwest or where are you at?
We're Midwest. We're out here in Ohio.
Oh, okay. We're going to be in Canton. We're going to be in Canton, Ohio in October. Yeah. In October at the Oracle. So if you can come by.
Yeah, I'm gonna go check out all the dates. And of course, you guys can go check out all the dates, firstjason.com. And again, if you go to one of his shows, see him at a con, Mention scurryface.com. Get you a little bonus for that.
That's right.
thank you again, Ari. I'm going to let you go. You have a pleasant evening, and I look forward to seeing you at the very least at DeadCon in Fort Wayne.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a good time. Thank you, buddy.
Jason never dies.
Jason never dies. All right. Have a good weekend, my friend. Thank you, sir.
Signing off. Thank you.
Maybe. That was fun, man. That was really fun. Ari's a good guy. That was really nice of him. Again, go over there to firstjason.com. If you're going to check out his band, First Jason, don't forget to mention scurryface.com. It'll get you a little signed free card that they, little card, I guess. I don't know if he's going to sign it on the spot or they're already signed. Regardless, a little bit of horror memorabilia to add to your collection. And I want to thank scurryface.com. Scurryface over there at Facebook, which is where obviously this show is being put out there. And if you need a mask, of course, Nightmare Ninja Studios over there on Facebook. Go talk to Jackal Monkey, aka James Carnes. You can find him that way as well. And also nightoftheLivingDreads.com. We're taking all of these shows and taking the audio so you can listen to it on the go via Spotify and Stitcher. So all of these interviews, if you are catching it late or you need something to listen to while you're running some errands, I got you covered.
Got your back.
I got your back. Thank you, CJ, for joining. I think we talked about the same amount of time, yeah. Almost, because Ari is a talker and he's got a lot of fun stories, like a lot of the different actors and directors and those in the industry always give us good backstories, which I really like. So
it was fine with me. It was a second podcast, so you know.
Right, there you go. And hopefully you'll join us for some more. We have to confirm next week's guest, get that final, within the week, taking confirmation, make sure everything's on the up and up, and hopefully we'll be able to let you guys know if that is a definite go. I think we've already mentioned who it was going to be before, so yes, we have we have got the thumbs up, at least in the very beginning. That was, a few weeks ago. But, of course, Betsy Baker and Teresa Tilly, two of the three girls from the original night, are the Evil Dead.
Marshmallow.
I know, right? And I didn't even talk that much tonight, so why should I have the marshmallows? Yeah, Betsy Baker and Teresa Tilly. Hopefully everything is still on the up and up. Again, we'll let you guys know. Poor Jackal Monkey didn't get to hang out too long, but it happens. It happens
to the best of us.
It really does. It happens to the best of us. So with that being said, I'm gonna get out of here. CJ, thanks again. Absolutely. Stop by anytime and hang out. We'll there's a show. So thank you guys in the chat for joining us.
Thank you.
And again, this will be up on our YouTube channel as well as over there at nightoflivingdreads.com. With that, good evening.